The anomalies are conclusive proof that getting locked out of your LinkedIn account exists in a podcast as real and solid as those we already know about. Welcome to Four Seasons and a Funeral, the podcast about shows that had four good seasons and also one other one that also aired. Today we're talking about season three of the next evolution of science fiction, Primeval. I'm Charlie, and I'm joined by David Uwu and Nick.
I'm David Uwu.
I'm Nick. Fortunately, again, it's still not Uwu.
Uwu's the best, though, because you don't got to do jack shit.
Yeah, you just yeah, get
but you have
there.
To, but you have to say Uwu.
And
you get to be the pillow princess, Uwu.
Oh no!
So, who here has been locked out of their LinkedIn account before?
Hey, I have access to it on my phone.
I can log into LinkedIn on whatever device I want because I have access to the email that I signed up to LinkedIn with.
I too can log into LinkedIn on whatever device I want.
Yeah, audience, I can't. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm like actually an idiot. Had a recognition of like, hey, I should probably update my LinkedIn. And was like, yeah, let me just go and like do that real quick. And David and Charlie got to see the output associated with that with my LinkedIn is associated to an email that I no longer have access to. I may have signed up for LinkedIn on my school account and then never linked it to another account a different email or phone number.
Then those emails expired legitimately like 4 years ago.
No. They only expired like a year ago for me.
Yeah,
they
had his longers.
They only expired to me last year, Charlie. Like,
wild.
It's crazy, but it has been a full year where I have just straight up not like I've went nowhere near LinkedIn, which is also probably not good, but it's fine. So I'm figuring out all the cool ways to go about that. The fun thing, audience, is I do still have access to LinkedIn on my phone because it recognizes that as a device that I've signed into LinkedIn before on. So I can sign in there. I still can't update or change my email addresses because it sends a code to the email address that it knows it can't receive things from. That's the other thing now. When I'm like doing that, it looks and goes like, hey, this email address doesn't work anymore. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do from that side. That's cool. But hey, here I am without a LinkedIn. Well, sort of.
You just have to upload a piece of government ID to LinkedIn's assuredly very secure server.
I'm sure that they'll be just as secured as the Toronto Public Library servers were.
Or Equifax, in general.
Or the Toronto Zoo.
Remember when a major organization that held people's social security numbers in the U.S. got hacked and then didn't tell anyone for a long time and then nothing happened to them? We all remember that happened, right?
Yes.
It's also not good.
Well, aside from trying to struggle into LinkedIn accounts, what is ever David?
I played. Oh, go ahead, David.
It has been 2 days since our last record.
Yes.
Yes.
Basically. I'm halfway through Dark Souls 2. That's all I've been doing since the last record.
We'll get the boring ones out of the way quick. Nick, you get to go last because you did shit.
God damn it.
I played so much Mahjong in Yakuza 0 to close out the completion points. I'm finally done with Mahjong. I am now done darts and pool as well. I'm so close to wrapping up disco dancing. And then I have to go to the telephone club to get dates with ladies. And then
nice.
It's all just RC car stuff from there on out with some light fishing thrown in. And then I can finally finish the main storyline. I don't know why I'm doing this before ending the game.
Is there not, like, endgame combat?
You want
Kiryu
want Kiryu to be in his ultimate form before he beats the boss.
Honestly, and that is, kind of.
And that is after doing all the bullshit.
The real estate minigame is taking up so much of my time. Because it's legitimately every 10 minutes I need to remember to run back to the office to get my hundreds of millions of yen. To then reinvest and continue doing this shit. Yakuza is so much fun. I don't know why I didn't play them for so long. It's so much fun. One day I'll even get to the new ones.
Impossible. That's what I keep saying about Elden Ring.
Except they release games with such like insane regularity I honestly think by the time I get to even like the first Like a Dragon or the Yakuza Like a Dragon, the first Ichiban game, I genuinely think three more games may be out by then. All right, Nick, who leads an interesting life outside of his house, what have you been doing in the last 2 days?
I played a stupid amount of Frisbee.
There it is.
It was great. I had a good time. Outside of LinkedIn, the rest of life has been mostly fine. Played in a tournament on Saturday with a bunch of people where I was the youngest person on the team, which was sort of weird. Played a lot of Frisbee where I'm like middle of the pack in terms of age. It was real weird for everyone else to be like mid-30s and then just me. But it was a good time. We finished 2-3 across our 5 games, and played against some teams that were really, really strong. We played against one team and it's like, oh yeah, that guy's captaining like Team Canada, like Mixed Ultimate this year. Those other three are also all on Team Canada, like Mixed, like Seniors Ultimate Team. And it's like, okay, cool. We're just going to lose to this team.
So you absolutely crushed them, right?
We lost.
You went,
so
broke their kneecaps and said, bury your dreams.
So I'm gonna point out how badly this team fucked us up. So before we played that game, we played a team who was definitely better than us, but their game before their game against us was against that team. We beat them by 8 points, which is not a small margin, in Ultimate Frisbee. And we were just like it just felt like we were playing like at a better, like way higher level than them. And they were just making a bunch of mistakes. We then went and played that team, got just demolished by them, completely forgot how to play Frisbee. And then our first playoff game was against that team that we'd just beaten before. They went on an 8-0 run to start against us. Like, we didn't score a point until they were up 8. It was really bad. Our team just didn't know how to play Frisbee, it felt like.
Oh, shit.
Like, the psychological aspect associated with that is insane. Because, like, we're playing against this other team, and it's like, cool. Literally, all of our bread and butter plays don't work. They're faster than us. They're smarter than us. They know what to be doing. So we have to throw just stupid shit that they're like, why would you throw that? And it's because it works, because they're not expecting it. And so you play like that, and you score, like, 10 points, and the other team scores, like, 35. And you're just in not a good mental state going into a game that you should have a shot at winning, and instead you just throw stupid shit and don't play good defense, and you just go down 8-0 to start, and we got just crushed by that team. we got beat so hard that our brains broke in the one game. It was really good.
Fun times.
And then, yeah, outside of that, more Frisbee today, just one game, and then was helping my girlfriend with cleaning, because her mom is moving, so they have to clean the house so that they can show it, and that is a nightmare and very, very stressful for both my girlfriend and the rest of her family. Which is fun. So it was great to be a part of that for like a couple hours and then just be able to leave. It's good to have the excuse of Frisbee. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. Many things. shall we get into this whole Primeval thing?
It's the season 3 recap episode, because we finished season 3 last week and you could hear our reactions to that. David gave the episode a 4 out of 5. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yep.
That's the only rating that ever matters for the show.
We don't need to talk about the rating that happened before that in the previous episode.
We don't need to talk about the other two ratings given for episode 10.
Or the ratings for episode 9. That's a bad look. Oh,
no, we're gonna talk about those ones in depth.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know if we even want to do an episode by episode recap. Basically, the overarching points of this season, Steven is dead, Danny becomes the new, or sorry,
well no, Nick Cutter
Steven
dies.
And Cutter die. Well, Steven died in season 2, Cutter dies this season.
We should do it episode by episode like we've always done.
Episode 1, crocodile monsters from Egypt show up, A new Egyptologist joins the team, Sarah Page. They
whose
find
name
out
I just always forget. Like, yep, I cannot remember her name.
She's just the Egyptologist lady. They find out that the anomalies can be affected by strong magnetic.
So strong magnetic fields let you move anomalies. And furthermore, you can seal anomalies with an electric current. Yes. So those are two brand new tools the ARC team has learned and figured out for manipulating anomalies, which is very important to the overall plot and series.
Yeah. Cutter has also been working heavily on kind of like linking, tracking anomalies across time and space, going, mm-hmm. hey, this mythological creature corresponds to like this fossil record. So it probably went through time and ended up in China somewhere, kind of building a map. And Sarah's brought onto the team to assist in that sense. Not really much more is happening here. Is this the episode where Helen steals the artifact, or does that happen in a different
yes.
episode?
So this is the episode where Christine sends the military into the future anomaly where they try to get the artifact but end up being killed. And we see Helen ends up getting the artifact there.
Oh, right. We have a new, like, secondary antagonist. She has history with Lester, is Lester's actor's real-world wife at the time of the filming. And, yeah, she's kind of antagonistic to the arc in that she wants full control over this stuff for whatever reason. Doesn't really get explained why they're not forced to work together by the government and why they're just okay with them fighting all the time, but whatever. Episode 2. Oh boy, we get introduced to Detective Danny Quinn.
Oh my god, it's this episode that has Danny
yeah.
in it.
Yeah. Cutter does an anomaly prediction. He's like, "Hey, this haunted house, an anomaly is going to open up." Sure enough, a future thing is there. It killed some kids like 20 years back, 15 years back, whatever. One of whom is apparently the brother of a local detective. Hijinks ensue. He shows up at the end of the episode to save the team, then quits the police force in some weird foreshadowing.
Whoa. He does not show up at the end to save the team. He shows up
at
the end to kill that dude.
He does show up at the end to kill the only survivor of the original incident, then
in
realizes,
cold
oh shit,
blood.
Monsters are real. Here's one of them. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
but yeah,
he saves the team incidentally.
Yeah,
he was
just
there to commit murder.
Yeah, it's pretty wild shit. He resigns the police force at the end of the episode and just kind of like, oh, I'll find something else to do, which is just a weird tone to have a character do. And then like to not bring him back later, which they do. Episode 3, maybe did we have this as the best episode of the season?
You have the reveals.
No, we didn't. Nick did. We did not. Cutter dies in this episode.
Is this me? Is this me having the correct call of this was the best episode of this season?
Okay. So, I'll get into reviews later. Episode 1 was, on average, the best episode. We liked episode 1. Because it did introduce new elements and shit. But yeah, Helen takes over the Ark because she has cloning tech, which is where all the different cleaner guys came from. And she made a clone of Cutter, but they're basic and only act on vocal command. It's weird. They're getting off the rails with the future tech already. But she wants the artifact. Cutter doesn't want to give it to her, so she shoots and kills Cutter. And Connor carries him out with the artifact at the end of the. So yeah, Cutter's dead. Fun. Oh, I also forgot in episode 1, we got a new security guy to replace Steve.
Oh, yes.
And he's actually like the best character on the show now. Objectively, he's okay. In terms of everyone, he's the only like good character. I know nothing about him, which is the way it needs to stay. The reporters from the Mammoth?
The Daily Mail. It's just supposed to be the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail keep breaking and entering to get info on the dinosaurs, and they find an anomaly. They stole an anomaly detector somewhere. They get eaten by dinosaurs. That's pretty much the episode. is the government has a leak on its hands, but luckily the past comes up to kill them and clean that whole thing up for them. It's pretty good.
Oh, this is also where we learn Abby's fucking her brother.
Oh, is this the episode?
No, I'm right. Okay with saying that.
Yeah, yeah. Abby also is 100% fucking her brother.
Fuck that character arc, by the way. Like,
who does a phone call to your sister and is like, oh yeah, tell her I'm in town. I'm going to show her a good time. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, also going on through all of this and before, especially in the episode where he dies, Jenny has been like, oh, maybe I do love Cutter. And in the episode where he dies, she's like, I'm going to ask him out on a date. And then he dies.
Oh, yeah. And then she leaves the show.
Jenny leaves the episode. The next episode, we're like, it's Mold Men. It's Last of Us. And they freeze the mold. And then Jenny quits the team. That's all I really remember from. I think Danny shows up again. Yeah, Danny breaks in. Danny showed up at the end of the reporter episode too, because he can fly a helicopter to plane.
You're right.
And Jenny's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Leave. And then he breaks back into the arc in the next episode. And then Christine's dude like pokes a box of fungus and gets infected and is like, you killed my man. Everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Your guy's just dumb. It's in a quarantine box. Why is he touching it? And so Lester hires Danny Quinn on the spot to prevent her from instilling a military spy. And also they're spying on the Ark. Again, why do you have to just get permission to view the security footage? It just makes no sense to me why these agencies are spying on each other. Just you have the ear of the minister, or at least had it at one point. Just get him to put you in charge? I don't. Now the actual best worst episode of the season, 3.6, the back in time fake out. The 8 hour in the future in media res.
What a terrible.
Oh, man, it's so good. So
Yes. We start in media res. 8 hours.
In the future.
Only 8 hours in the future. Why bother showing us the future at all, Primeval?
And they're all in like old timey clothes, listen to old timey music in an old timey cabin. And then 8 hours ago. And they don't go into the past. They're just at a research bunker that maybe got attacked by raptors at some point, or bird-like raptors.
It has been abandoned for 50 years, but everything's still in okay condition.
Yeah, insane. there's still good gas in a generator downstairs. Yeah, Christine takes over the Ark to try and get the artifact. This mysterious artifact that is maybe a map of the anomalies. I think we know at this point. Or even in this episode. The main team flees, holds out in a bunker. They really tease that they go back in time. They put on like 1950s clothes that they find in the bunker and just put them on for fun.
Because you can.
Like, Abby comes out with dresses that fit her and Sarah perfectly. And we're like, oh, Listen. Look, we should get dressed up. And then it's so dumb and I love it.
When you're running from the government, might as well have a dress-up party.
Oh, and also it's a minefield. It's a literal minefield.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the military guys tries to run away and drives directly onto a mine. And then the wreckage from his car almost decapitates one of the dinosaurs. Oh, my. What did I give that episode? Oh, my God. We still all gave that one a 2.0. Oh, because God. We said this episode was a fever dream and cannot be accurately rated. Oh, thank God I left myself a note.
Yeah, no.
All right.
It was just a fever dream.
Episode next. 7.
Oh, fucking it's our, night episode.
It's our Merlin crossover where yep. Vincent Van Gogh from Doctor Who is a knight.
Is also not St. George for some reason?
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
There is literally a famous story of a knight in England killing a dragon. Like, and you don't bring it up. You just make it a random knight.
Yeah, It's fine.
No, it's not fine, Charlie. It's not fine.
It's primeval fine.
You do the whole thing about, oh, yeah, all myths are just dinosaurs. But you don't do the literal myth about a man killing a dragon in England? Like...
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah, Knight comes through from portal to the past trying to hunt a dragon, but it's actually a dinosaur that came through a different portal. And then he freaks out thinking that he's in hell, like he's died and he's been sent to hell, and thinks Danny is a servant of Satan and tries to kill him. And hey, Danny can speak Latin and knows sword fighting. What doesn't this man know?
The absolute retconning of Danny into a competent character from a corrupt cop is insane.
Also, the odd retconning of Sarah, where she's an Egyptologist, but she also knows Latin and she knows how to fix the electromagnetic lock on the...
And she also is a skilled cryptographer as well. Yeah.
She can also manage a man with severe mental problems because he's a mad scientist who removed part of his brain to stop him from going evil. Wait, no, that's a better character.
We can't have those.
I miss you, Astrid. Come back. We'll give you your own episode this time.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. But, hey, look that actress up. She has not aged.
Interesting.
Black do not crack. Episode 8. There's an entire subplot going on here where Connor's been kicked out of Abby's flat because her brother that she is totally not fucking is in town and needs to stay with her. But her brother is a gambling degenerate who like lost Rex in a game of poker and doesn't believe that his sister works at a zoo. And also, I don't know why his sister is lying about working at it and can just say, hey, it's some government thing. I actually can't talk. But he steals an anomaly tracker and goes and finds an anomaly and drives into the future. And there's giant mantises there that fight with future predators. Oh, and also the other government organization brought in the same exact time, like down to the minute, because they see each other, is taking a woman from the future back to their facility, where they're also studying future predators, which is exactly what Helen warned us about, which means she was right. And it's the most disappointing thing is Helen was right.
Helen was right is the most disappointing thing of this season.
Yeah, like, I was okay when Uther was objectively correct.
Uther was always objectively correct.
90% of the time, Uther was objectively correct. There's a couple times where, no.
Uther was objectively correct. If he had actually killed all the magic users, none of this would have happened.
He's the one who kept the dragon alive. Just kill the dragon and you're fine. There's no one there to tell Merlin
exactly.
What to
That's
do.
That's what I'm saying. Half measures. He should have gone full bore.
No, full bore is how you die. Ask the one.
You keep Robert Baratheon's name out of your mouth.
I have seen... Boars are fucking terrifying also. Like, I can understand how you die hunting a boar. It's like you have to hit them, like even modern boar hunting, you have to shoot them in one specific spot. Otherwise, they will just keep charging you.
I mean, they're surrounded by so much mass. It's just like, and they get so fast.
Their tusks are actual razor sharp. Like, you can just cut yourself really deeply by just running your hand over it. Fucking terrifying. They keep breeding in the wild with domestic pigs, so they get the huge growth genes we've bred into them. So you get boars that are easily like 300-400 pounds.
Well, also, don't pigs like go wild like and just transform into like feral pigs?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, also that's also horrifying.
What I mean. And then they intermingle with boars. It's horrible. There's... That's why we need a legitimate thing, I think, quoted by either a congressman or senator of the U.S. of, this is why we need guns. Wait until a herd of boar take over your backyard.
Honestly, valid. I'll accept that. I will accept that justification. Reboot Primeval, but the future predators are just monstrous boars. Like, use a little bit of actual science for creatures that we've horrifyingly crossbred.
It sounds beautiful.
I want giant boars and then giant horseshoe crabs, because at some point in the future, they created horseshoe crabs to harvest their blood, but they've got too powerful.
But yeah, he gets to the future. They rescue him from the future. He's still a piece of shit. I think he leaves. Oh, and then Connor and Abby finally kiss and are like, I love you. But that doesn't get resolved for like two episodes, because the next episode, Connor's still like, oh, maybe I could move back in because it beats me daily. But oh, yeah, Connor's been living with Lester the whole time.
Comedy about that.
We don't get as much roommate hijinks as I honestly would have liked.
We got a bunch, but it wasn't ever like a B plot or like even a C plot. It was just like usually a one-off joke per episode.
Yeah. Like you could easily have a B plot going around of like, oh, I smashed his vase and now I gotta like glue it back together while hiding it from him in the arc while I do all this research. It'd be fun stuff like that. But yeah, that ends. I think he stops living with Abby. Whatever. So 9, Danny breaks into that military facility, gets caught almost immediately, but the future woman E.
Oh, Lord. The worst episode of Primeval history.
Oh, yeah. And then a herd of past rhinos just break up like a dirt biking stag weekend for a guy who then also heavily hits on Abby, even though he's getting married and thought she was the stripper, like aggressively hits on her. It's really fucking weird. Not a whole lot happened. They cause a stampede, like objectively they're the reason why the Ebolotherium stampede. And then oh look, the future woman has a device that can open anomalies, which okay.
Oh my god, how did you do that? I'll explain later.
Does this mean that all anomalies are artificial?
And or can be opened whenever you want or something?
Or are they still like a naturally occurring event? But then she reveals herself to be Helen. Whoa, because she's got future hologram technology, and the society that produced cloning tech and hologram tech still got wiped out by the future predators. Apparently
the future predators, who have been killed so easily repeatedly over and over again
in the next fucking episode. The new security guy, who I feel bad because I keep forgetting his name, is like, hey, future predators are incredibly sensitive to light and or to sounds. Here's a stun grenade. It will blind them. Where have those been the whole time?
Don't worry about it.
They also gave him a fake death sacrifice in episode 8, which was weird. Like he's just chilling in a car with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, he sacrificed himself. And then he just shows up later, but like, hey, I'm fine.
Real weird. And then season finale, Helen's plan is to go back to the past and kill early humans so that humanity never evolves. Because, like Ultron, humans are the problem. And yes. Killing all the humans will solve all the problems.
And her plan to kill all the humans is with a fucking tiny dose of poison and not just a gun.
Yeah. And we wrote the episode much better of she just gets a nuke. She goes back in time, steals a nuke from the Russians during the Cold War, and then takes that into the past and nukes early humanity. Mesopotamia comes in a radiated wasteland. Much cooler story than, ooh, she dumped a little bit of poison and then these CG Harry people died. And then Danny walked up to them and kicks one. I cannot get over how he, instead of having this shred of shared humanity across millennia, as its early human looks up at its descendant and reaches out with its last dying gasp, looking for any amount of empathy, Danny just looks at it and kicks over one of its dead friends.
Just goes, oops, I guess you're dead now.
Fucking stupid monkeys. Danny, Abby, and Connor all get caught in separate paths. Danny is at the Dawn of Humanity past. He's trapped there. Follow us on Twitter for the best GIF ever. at Forsaf, where you can see Danny's reaction to being stuck in the past or not being able to find the good in a show. And then Abby and Connor are stuck in like Cretaceous period because Connor's a fucking moron. And Helen got Cruella DeVille's mommed off of a rock by a raptor. You don't get that reference.
What a statement.
Watch the Disney film Cruella.
Which was the 101 Dalmatians, but from the villain's perspective, live action movie.
the 2021 101 Dalmatians villains POV prequel.
You guys remember when Disney was doing that? Because they had that with the fucking Angelina Jolie one, right?
Oh, with Maleficent, yes.
Isn't there Maleficent 2 coming out?
I think Maleficent 2 did come out.
Oh my god, it came out in 2019.
Wait. Oh no.
It came out 5 years ago. Why don't I remember this?
Because they tried to make her like a sympathetic villain.
39% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Oh my god, this movie came out. They tried to make her a sympathetic villain. It was like, oh, she fell in love with a human who then tried to cut her wings off with iron because she's fairy. But like, her name is Maleficent, as in like malice. Like that was shorthand for kids in Sleeping Beauty to know that she's evil.
Listen, they could have always named the word after her. After that happened, and she went off the deep end.
It's so baffling.
Angelina Jolie looks great in those movies, though. That's all that really matters.
Honestly, the costuming is about the only good thing for any of those. It's just like whenever a new Avatar movie is like announced or in production, I'm like, sweet. It's gonna set visual effects technology ahead another decade. That's all these movies are good for. Yeah, like that's cool. And like someone had fun with character design. And also, you could cut like fucking diamonds on those cheekbones. They're so sharp. Holy shit. But yeah, Maleficent was just it was bad. Do watch it. Just get really burst. But yeah, that
did you watch the second one?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even remember the first one.
I knew the second one came out. I think there was like an Everything Wrong that I saw like the thumbnail for. Get CinemaSins out of my YouTube. I only watch CinemaWins now because I try to enjoy media instead of hating them.
Yeah.
And then we do this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah,
then we're here.
This brief discussion of Maleficent concludes our season 3 of Primeval Recap.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Episode ratings by committee. Our favorite episode was episode 1, where we all gave it a 3. David did have a caveat.
Ooh, that's bad.
Where he said, if the anomaly magnet stuff doesn't come back, it gets downgraded to a 0. But it does come back. They do find a way to lock anomalies. So it gets a 3. I think our true highest rated episode is definitely episode 6, where we couldn't properly rate it. Go back and listen to that episode. That may be the best episode of the season. Just because we were all losing our fucking minds about what they were doing.
It definitely broke my brain, that episode.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person that who watched an episode. I'm not that David anymore. I'm a different David. After watching that episode and before that episode are different people.
Like, audience, remember how I was talking, like, at the start of this recording about getting dumpstered on by, like, a too good Ultimate Frisbee team and then just forgetting how to play Frisbee? The same thing happened in this episode. It was either really good or really bad. One of those two things happened, and it broke my way of thinking.
I forgot how to do media literacy.
Yeah.
I was pure audience member at that point. I wasn't critic. I wasn't absorbing anything. I was just watching images on a screen with audio.
It was as close to like head empty vibes only that you can get. And
without drugs,
The audio. And it was because for some reason the show just did that. That episode just did that.
They just woke up one day and chose to do that. That was a choice.
Yeah.
They could have done anything else.
Really, really horribly, only 2 people gave ratings higher than a 3 this season one time.
Oh, no.
Nick gave episode 3 a 4.
Yes.
David and I gave episode 3 a 1 and 1.5. And then David gave episode 10 a 4 after we talked him into it, and Nick gave it a 1 and I gave it a 0.5.
I stand by that episode 10 was the best episode of this season.
That's okay, David. I stand by episode 3 was the best episode of this season. They kill Cutter. How could you not love it?
They kill Helen. That dude. How could you not love it? gets Cruella devoured by a raptor. What do you mean?
They killed the Cutters, and those were our favorite episodes, David. Were the episodes where they killed off the Cutters.
I also love how David and I did not watch the episode together and then came to do the review and went, holy shit, they Cruella DeVille'd. Cruella DeVille's mobbed her off a cliff.
I know 100% why, because that moment, I think we all watched that.
We watched that together.
We watched that during COVID, I think, via like Zoom or like online.
I think we were in Discord.
No, we were in Discord.
I remember this. We were over Discord all watching it, and then the scene happened, and we all just like, I distinctly remember the Discord like warbling as we all went, what the fuck?
If you haven't watched Cruella, go watch Cruella. It's an oddly good movie. If you watch it with the right mindset of this doesn't matter for anything, this holds no media significance at all. It's just funny. Worst episode of the season is episode 9, where by committee we gave it a negative 0.17. David and I gave it a -1, and Nick gave it a 1. On a whole, our average rating for an episode this season was a 1.9.
Oh.
Wow.
We did not like this season.
Nick was the optimist at 2.25. David was the middleman. I honestly want to say, oh no, not for the first time. I have constantly been, or I was the pessimist last season too. David was the middleman. I'm pretty sure purely because of his season or his episode 10 rating, which brought him up to a 1.7. Repeating.
Oh no.
I was the pessimist at 1.65.
Wow. Those are
horrible ratings. So for reference, last season our committee average was 3.36.
Holy shit.
We dropped a full metric.
On the plus side, there are only 13 more episodes of Primeval left. Total.
We only have three more months of doing this show.
There are 5 webisodes.
We're not doing the webisodes.
Of 2 to 4 minutes long that provide background information to series 4. Nope. I think we do an episode where we just watch them all together and like discuss them in the moment. That's probably gonna be a shorter episode. But we should just do that.
I can agree to that.
We should do that as a preemptor to series 4. There's only 5 of them. They're 2 to 4 minutes long. It'll be quick.
I like it.
I'm sure we can find them on YouTube.
That'll be next week then.
Yeah.
That'll be next week, right? Yeah. Oh. Tune in next time, audience.
I was also gonna suggest that we watch a playthrough of the Primeval game.
There's a Primeval game?
It's a browser game that came out during this season where you learn about the Helen Cutter's disguise and everything. I believe there are some playthroughs of that online as well that we can watch. So we can discuss that for next record.
We'll figure that out then, I guess, though.
Unfortunately, there is not a DS game for Primeval. I looked...
That's a shame. We can't 80% world record it.
Yeah, we can't 80%.
There's no Fringe video games. There's no Primeval video games.
Damn, that's a shame right there.
Okay, there we go. God bless a YouTube playlist from 13 years ago.
So, audience, if you didn't know about the history of Primeval, this terrible show we're deciding to do, would it shock you to believe that Primeval was canceled after this season?
See, and here's the thing. It was canceled because of financial concerns.
Primeval dropped by ITV. So there was a possibility that Primeval was going to be saved by ITV, which is the channel that was doing it, teaming up with another channel, and they were both going to fund it. Impossible Pictures. Yeah. Unfortunately, the other channel decided not to, so it was just straight up canceled.
This article is more than 14 years old. Oh. Thanks.
One of the comments, why did you have to close the best show in the universe? You have to leave a big cliffhanger so you could piss us all off? You closing Primeval to save money? Yes, the article says that. Because if you are, I got one thing to say to you. Close America's Got Talent or something like that. You're sincerely your biggest Primeval fan.
Why would closing America's Got Talent help Primeval?
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, these comments are great.
They really do their heads examining. In the last 10 years, they've acted so many excellent dramas. Bad Girls, Peak Practice, Afterlife, London's Burning, Soldier. And now Primeval.
That's not Soldier, the TV show. That's Soldier, comma, Soldier.
I'm going to look up these shows, and I want you to just guess the Rotten Tomatoes range.
Like, it's gotta be low, right? Like, these... I can understand...
Bad Girls.
Okay, all right, David.
What is it?
British television drama series that had 8 seasons. That was broadcast from 1999, June 1st, until December 20th, 2006. It is starring no one I recognize. But it went for 8 series.
Do you want like the IMDb score? Does it have a Rotten Tomatoes score?
It does not have a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, no. Does it have an IMDb score?
I'm looking it up.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it does have IMDb score. So this is out of 10. What do you think the rating is?
7.5.
6.9.
7.9, wow. Charlie. Very good.
Ooh, IMDb always skews like really high.
Yeah.
Unless it's high. Popular.
Okay. Because
only
next.
People who like it review it.
Peak Practice. 12 seasons.
This is a medical drama,
from
right?
1993 it's to 2002. British drama series about a GP surgery in Cardale, a small fictional town in the Derbyshire Peak District, and the doctors who worked there.
That's definitely region names I recognize. 7.
7.8.
6.4.
Whoa. All
right, Afterlife.
Afterlife, a British black comedy drama streaming television series created, written, produced, and directed by Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
Excuse me?
This had 3 seasons. British seasons, so like 6 episodes each.
It's gonna be like 8.5.
No, it's gonna be lower. It only got 3 seasons. It's gonna be, actually no, 3 seasons is the perfect amount. We were talking about this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Wait, no, this can't be it, because this aired in 2019.
Yeah, that's definitely not it, though.
Oh, sorry, okay, now I found it. Afterlife, series 2005 to 2006.
One season?
2 seasons.
2?
University
okay.
lecturer Robert Bridge becomes involved in a series of supernatural events surrounding medium Allison Mundy in this chilling TV series.
4.3.
Nah, that's a solid 6.7 right there.
We are looking at a 7.9.
Wow.
What on earth?
Next.
Like, they're either 6s or 7s.
All right, before you describe what this next show is, Nick, what do we think London's Burning is about? Is it... if
this is 2009, right? Give me...
That's when the comment was made.
Is this like a wartime thing? Is this a political drama?
Do you want the first year it aired?
Yeah, give me the first year it aired.
1988.
Shit. All right. That's a shame, because I was going to go with like 9/11, but like British equivalent, like
Big Ben's thing. Been hit by a second plane. Mom, a second plane has hit Big Ben.
Yeah, it was like that was what I was going for. Like, I wanted like 24, but the British equivalent.
I think it's just a political drama about like the House of Lords or whatever.
Okay, if you're going political drama, also 1988 was when it started airing.
Like, yeah,
was when it started.
I'm guessing like a West Wing-esque kind of political drama where it's like someone who has to do like PR for the government, something like that.
Yeah, with this comment happening in 2009, like I could definitely see this being like a wartime situation thing, but it's got to be like that's too long ago for that to be something that this person was talking about. So I think I got to agree with Charlie. It's got to be something political, right?
London's David. Burning is a British television drama program produced by the London Week in Television for the ITV network. Is based on the 1986 TV movie of the same name and focused on the lives of the members of the London Fire Brigade. Principally those of the Blue Watch and the fictional Black Whale Fire Station.
It aired
for a total of 14 series, which ran from 1988 to August 2002.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sorry, between Peak Practice and London's Burning, no, this all makes sense now.
No. Finally. Wow. Soldier?
Is it Soldier or Soldier Soldier?
It's gotta be Soldier Soldier, right?
It's gotta be Soldier Soldier. Oh, okay, it's Soldier Soldier.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, we didn't do ratings for London's Burning.
What did you think the rating was? 9.8.
Oh. 8.2. There's no way it's below an 8.
7.0.
God damn it.
And Soldier's got to be a military thing, right? Like, actually, this time.
Special Forces. Give me Spec Ops.
Finally, we have Soldier, a British television drama series. Ran for a total of 7 series, 82 episodes total, from 1991 to 1997.
These are some deep cuts by this guy.
He also said the last 10 years, like his 10 years ends in 99.
This is an old man. It featured the daily lives of a group of soldiers in B Company, 1st Battalion of the King's Fusiliers, a fictional British Army infantry regiment loosely built on the Royal Regiment of Fusiliers. I believe this is World War I?
6.5.
7.2.
6.7. Yes, I finally got one.
Wait, there was talk about doing a Primeval movie?
Apparently.
Of course, there has to be. You always do movies.
So this was apparently, the shocking thing is, I guess Primeval was a popular show. Like, we saw it was getting 4 or 5 million
millions of views. This was 2009. There wasn't much else to do aside from watch television.
This was also apparently these episodes were airing on Saturdays. Like this was like a Saturday evening TV.
Yeah,
show.
Like it was prime time. So I guess
that's not prime time. That is not prime time.
Saturday evenings?
No, that's not. Typical prime time is weekday. Evening.
Weekday prime. Oh. Yeah, weekday, 8 or 9 p.m. Those are your prime
Because
times.
The whole point is, like, if it's on the weekend, especially Saturday, people could be out doing things, right? Or, on a holiday. Yes. On a weekday prime time, when you come home from work and you're, like, eating dinner, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., that's prime time, like, TV, right? Because you're a captive audience. That's why those are, like, the high-value spots.
Yes. So this was, like, that's a lot of views for getting at, like, a non-prime time time slot.
Yeah.
That is kind of impressive. However, it's I can see why they canceled it. The like show, like even if it was like obviously like the show was losing money, but also like the writers kind of went off the deep end this season. Like,
but not enough.
they went off the deep end into like, yeah, you're right, David. They dove into like 6 feet of water. Like
they dove headfirst into shallow water and got a concussion, and then wrote.
No, that's a spinal right
that,
there.
Yeah, you're a quad after that.
All right, what is your guys' favorite monster from this season?
Danny Quinn.
That is a good response.
Good fucking choice, Charlie.
A cab.
I'm gonna go with the fucking fungus people.
Oh, that's fair. Nah, that, favorite monster, the clones. It'd be the clones. It comes right in because we get the Nick Cutter clone that shows the smallest bit of humanity, but is like, no, I must listen to her anyways.
All right.
Is your favorite clone the one who had to kill himself?
No, my favorite clone is the one with the bandana for no reason.
Not the eye patch clone? No,
like bandana clone. Eye patch at least makes sense. Like, he has an eye injury. He put an eye patch on. Why is bandana clone the only clone wearing a bandana?
Because that's the one Helen likes to have sex with, so she's got to be able to tell them apart from the other clones.
This one's a tender lover. The rest of them... the rest of them selfish. Oh, man. All right, what's our favorite... So we've done favorite monster. I'm gonna say either.
You know which. You know which one was my favorite episode.
Yes. No. But like, what was either your favorite like technology or like? I'm just gonna leave it at like store like
thing
story arc thing.
Well, was your favorite technology thing?
Like not monster, but like
my favorite ahead, technology Dave. One was definitely the magnets move the anomalies. I wish they interacted with more. But I just feel like there are so many interesting avenues for where, why don't ARC team arrive at a place and immediately start moving the anomaly, like into like an iron van or something, right?
Yeah. And like have a collection of anomalies in the basement until they...
Yeah. Especially if you can seal them. Seal the anomaly, load it up on a van, and then drive it back to the ARC. And that could also explain why like the future is so fucked up and it's the ARC. It's like, oh... Maybe we shouldn't have stored 700 anomalies in the basement. Maybe that was a bad thing. Oh, it started
causing like fractures in time and shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. Also, they could have had a cool episode where like two anomalies just like overlapped. Like they were like storing them and like accidentally like tipped one into the other, and that just like fucked everything up.
They like drew towards each other for the first time. Just like
they like collided, and it's like, oh shit, time explosion. Or something, who knows. That would have been cool. All right, if I'm going to pick one, this is not a technology, but it's not like a piece of tech or things like that. Just I enjoyed the interactions associated with like having like medieval like fighting dinosaurs, like having that little part, like them actually bringing that in and us seeing a bit of that. That part was fun. They didn't execute it very well, but I like the idea. I thought it could have been done well.
David took my favorite bit. Oh, I'll say Danny and the other dude actually trying to beef up the security. Because we bitched for so long of like, wow, these guys have no security. And then one episode just opens with Danny trying to break into the ARC, getting caught, and then going, hey, here are the blind spots in our security. Of course, that is all defeated by the point of the other military organization has installed hidden cameras all over the place. But it was still nice to see them try.
Definitely, like an attempt was made there.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Do we want to move into called shots? What we hit on and what we didn't from this last season?
Season 3 called shots. Oh boy. Future observers. Nope.
Not yet. Who knows?
Not yet. Two more series.
Abby and Connor will get together. Explicitly, they will fuck. No.
Damn it.
There has not been fucking yet.
Steven will come back. No. Even though they had the perfect opportunity with the clones. Helen did nothing wrong. Unfortunately correct.
These are all David calls, right?
Yes, this is all David calls so far. Jenny will die like an ego death and Claudia comes back. Incorrect. The artifact is a time machine. Incorrect. Despite us seeing anomalies inside of it during a camera move.
Yeah, it's a map.
Becker, that's his name. Becker, he's the security guy. He will die before season 4. You guessed fucking wrong, buddy.
You almost had it right. Astounded.
And then Cutter/the Cutter clone created the artifact. Probably, almost certainly not, because Cutter dies before the artifact is created in the future. So it can't even be a future version of himself. And they haven't brought clones back, so I'm going to say no. Nick, time travel messes with your brain as a way to explain away the bad writing about Cutter and Helen.
So no. Far, no.
I don't know. Did you see Danny there after he didn't get to go back through there?
Danny did go a little crazy.
He went through three whole portals to get there.
We'll learn the future Predator future is the near future. I'm tempted to give you a check mark for this because they do go to the future and go, wow, these cars aren't even that old.
I
you said within we'll 1,000 years, forward. So I'll give you the check mark for that.
Oh yeah. If I said within 1,000 years, I would be upset if it's more than that. Yeah.
Jenny will die. Nope. I forget where this one came from. Helen is working with the North Koreans. I haven't looked at these in so long.
Hey, so far, not disproven.
Where did that come from? Oh no, I know where that came from. That came from the fact that in fucking episode one, they send the fucking anomaly to North Korea.
Oh, yeah, no, the gate is supposed to be going to North Korea.
Korea. That's where. I was like, why the fuck did I pull out North Korea?
Yep. And then the artifact opens portals. You get half marks for this one, because...
Whoa, no, the artifact is a map for portals. There's an entirely different, separate device unrelated to the artifact that opens portals.
All right.
Sigh.
And that's it for Nick. So he went 1 for 5. David went 1 for 7. Or 1 for 8. I said the time travel clones will be cast aside plot-wise. Yup.
Check mark.
Government creates future predators. I'm gonna say no because we don't have proof of that yet.
We'll revisit it as needed.
I'm going to combine these next two because they're kind of in the same vein. It's just more specific. I said a main cast member will die, specifically Cutter. And then Connor creates the artifact this season in a closed time loop. Nope, because we don't know who made the artifact. They're just leaving it up as future people.
Hooray.
So I went 2 for 4. I had the best accuracy of 50%.
All right. I already have a called shot for this next season. And I think it's got to hit. Connor and Abby are going to break up at some point.
Oh. 100%,
right? Like it's got to happen. Like there's going to be some stupid drama. It may only be an episode or two that they break up, but they're going to break up.
I have Connor and Abby will get engaged next season.
Oh shit, you're going the opposite way. All right. Those could both hit. You never know.
Yeah. Like this, it could very easily be they break up and then they get back together and get engaged.
I could see it.
David, do you have a Connor and Abby related guess? We have seen them in the season 4 promo stuff, so you can't say they're gone.
I cannot fathom where these writers are going with this story, and I'm not going to try anymore.
All right, do you have any called shots for season 4, David?
No, I don't. I really don't know what the fuck they're doing.
We don't even know who the villain's going to be.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, give me a villain
guess.
Called
shot, Danny never shows up again.
Danny never comes back for season 4. Nick, do you want to claim the North Koreans are involved?
Oh, shit. Wait, I can go back to that. No, there's no way. They're throwing that fucking shit aside.
South Koreans? Some would say the trickier Koreans.
All right, wait. This episode... Okay, this season came out in 2009, so they're writing this thing in 2010 sort of era. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Who's the big bad government that's gonna be the problem
Koreans.
Here? Yeah, the North Koreans.
It is the North Koreans in that time frame, though, is the problem. It definitely is. It's not even the States. Damn. It's
the North Koreans or it's the Middle East, just like throughout all of history.
So like it's gonna be foreign. Like it's gonna be foreign government. That's like it's either foreign government or just the military again.
We'll say foreign.
Like, I feel like those are gonna be the two big bads.
Foreign gov will be big bad for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty down with foreign governments going to be the big bad.
Okay.
Actually, that feels like it's going to miss every time as I'm saying it. The show has never given us a foreign.
Do you want to say like domestic or organization then?
Yeah. Oh wait, no. Here's the called shot. Leak comes back.
So, no wait, Leak's dead.
Yeah, no, Leak's dead. This is going to be, there's going to be some like contingency that Helen left, or like someone who's still a part of the plan who's making the clones, and they're going to reveal themselves, but going to be related to Helen still.
Okay, Helen left behind.
Helen, yeah.
plans to be carried out after she died. Boy, I don't even know.
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, it's just... They really just go all out in terms of, it's like I can understand like reading those comments of people being like, man, they left it on such a big cliffhanger. It's like, you're right, but also they didn't. Like,
but also, where are they going with this? The main villain's dead, like, and failed her plan?
Well, no, both villains died. Both of the villains of this season are dead. One at the hands of the other, and the other at the hands of a raptor. Like,
yeah,
like it's a very strange thing where it's like, you're right that the show's in a weird spot because they left like two groups of like main character, like they left like main characters stranded in two different time periods. So sure, there's like something associated with that, but like they killed off all the bad guys. So did they do it?
I'm gonna say we're gonna meet future people who come from.
You mean observers?
No, not observers.
You mean observers? You mean we're going to meet future people who are coming back in time to colonize the past or set up the past so that it is good for them to continue existing? You mean,
yes,
observers?
But they will have hair and they cannot teleport.
That's what the observers are, though. That's the entire fucking thing.
You imagine if Fringe was like, look, we solved the observer problem. They have hair now.
We've given all the observers hair, and they suddenly chilled out quite a bit.
And now they're good.
All right. Also, real quick, because we do have that image that I showed of like the like part of at least part of the cast from season 4, episode 1. There's two new people here that we've never met before.
Oh yeah, boring white guy.
What are their jobs? What were they doing before? Okay. Just from
so
what we've seen.
We
here.
Only see security dude Becker, Connor, Abby. So we need another. Like,
so there's the male.
So there's
lead.
Two other people. There's a male lead. There's like a male lead, and then a female like colorary.
Female
character.
Quirky character is going to be the Egyptologist replacement. She's going to be like either the hacker or like the fucking like information dump person, right? And then other lead looks like he's going to be the cool strong guy, like Steven or Danny replacement.
He's just Indiana Jones, is my guess. This new guy, just Indiana Jones. Look at that shirt. Look at that belt. Look at those jeans. That man is Indiana Jones, but the British equivalent.
Yorkshire Jones?
Oh, no.
Derbyshire Jones.
They can't go that he's a university professor, because they already did that with Cutter. He can't be a cop, because that was Danny.
He's just Indiana
right,
Jones.
He's
like, no, he's gonna be an archaeologist, no, but he's actually just a treasure hunter.
He's gonna be a former MI6 agent.
He's Connor and Abby's son from the future.
Yo.
He's gonna die in episode one. And we're gonna be like, why introduce that character?
Why do you have a necklace with your mom's bullet brain on it? Or brain bullet.
Oh, man. Okay. What a fantastic thing that Fringe
Quirky
did.
Girl David.
The next show we're doing
tech.
Has no sci-fi in it, right? It's just like a cool crime
Luther,
show.
I think we're doing Luther. It's just a crime show.
Okay, so we wanted to worry about time travel or observers if we do Luther. It's a little bit.
I'm so excited for.
I every time I think about doing Luther, especially after Primeval, it's like, it doesn't fit our vibe as much, unfortunately.
Could do the magicians.
I was thinking more what's it?
Charlie, I need you to watch season one of The Magicians, then decide if you actually want to do that TV show.
Like, Chuck feels like exactly
David.
Our vibe.
Chuck is 1,000% our vibe.
It's so bad. It's so long.
Like, I think
where you guys right
I
now.
I think that's the thing is we're so hard leading into UK shows because they're so much shorter.
I just think like Chuck is another like weird sci-fi show that aired like.
It's not sci-fi though.
Chuck is sci-fi.
Is it sci-fi? I don't know if I would consider
2007
Chuck
sci-fi. 2007 to 2012 aired like perfect smack dab.
Chuck is sci-fi in the way Get Smart in James Bond or sci-fi, I guess, where it's like the gadget tech sci-fi angle.
I would argue as someone who has seen all of Chuck, I would say that it is a rom-com with sci-fi elements.
Yes, 100% accurate.
We can still do it.
David, do you want to dedicate the next like 2 years of your life to Chuck?
Like, that's the important thing to recognize.
How many
it's
episodes?
Fringe,
so
it's
many
Fringe episodes. Again.
13, 22, 19, 24, 13.
It's so many episodes.
Right. It either
91 episodes. It
either started or
it's
ended on the
level.
Writer's strike, right?
Let me think about that. Yeah, because Fringe had an even 100 in terms of its numbers of episodes, so it wouldn't quite be Fringe. It's 9 episodes less than Fringe, but it's
so
much,
we get
it's so
we
much
get
deep.
A little just a bit over 2 months of our life back.
Alternatively, Flashpoint, the TV show.
that is also an option. I think this is legitimately the first time that we've talked about having to do like watch a couple episodes and then like watch the pilots of a couple different shows and decide off of that. I think this next show we legitimately have to do
that.
I
feel like Luther's gonna be too good after wallowing in the filth of Primeval. I just don't feel like I'm allowed to watch Luther.
It's
we can't have good things.
Yeah,
we can't have good things. So on the one hand, Chuck, if you look at the prime, like quote unquote primetime TV slots, and a reason again why season 5 might not have been as good, seasons 1 through 4 aired at 8 p.m. on Mondays. Season 5 aired at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Which,
From what I remember of Chuck, it was at the very least fun.
There is also Warehouse 13.
It was fine. Warehouse 13 was also fine and fun. Look at that. They apparently Chuck won some awards. They won an Emmy.
Warehouse 13 only has 65 episodes total.
Warehouse 13 is shorter. Season 5 of Warehouse 13 is 5 episodes.
Jesus.
All
right, it's not
we
a good look.
We might have to watch some pilots. I'm not sold on Luther anymore. Is the next show we're doing?
We'll have to block out like an afternoon, hop on a Zoom call, and all watch the pilots together.
Yeah,
that's the ideal.
Wait, IGN. Okay, one second. Also, Chuck, I won in 2010 an IGN award for best villain.
What?
For Brandon Routh. Also, you'll know, if you watched any Chuck, you'll know off of this image, but I love that this is this man's Wikipedia page. One second. Just Brandon Routh, in case you're wondering.
Alternatively.
Looks like this man,
110
Charlie.
Episodes.
Oh my god! David knows who this man is.
Isn't that Superman?
That's Superman. And that's also vegan boyfriend from Scott Pilgrim.
But also, 110 episodes, Babylon 5.
I would absolutely love to have you guys watch Babylon 5, because it is so peak science fiction in so many different ways for the era. And it also goes out so many good twists and turns, where at some point I think we'll be talking about the show and going, how the fuck did we get here? But in like the best way. I will fight for Babylon 5 if it's on the table.
Oh man, well, we'll see what happens. Audience, in case you're wondering, man, we're not a fan of Primeval right now. as we desperately remember how it's...
I'm so sorry for recommending the show. I apologize so much.
No, it's all good. It's all good, Charlie.
This is exactly
I'm loving
the
it.
Kind of content we wanted to make, though. Like Primeval was perfect for us to do.
But remember how in Merlin, like, we got towards, like, middle of season 4 into season 5, and we're like, man, we just can't wait. Like, we're just counting down the episodes before fucking, before the next show. Oh, boy. Primeval somehow beat that. Like, we're at the season 3 recap. We haven't even hit season 4 yet.
All right. Anything else we need to cover for this recap?
I'm praying on my knees for more episodes like episode 6.
I don't know. That might have just broken me enough, Charlie, that like I haven't been able to properly rate an episode afterwards. Like I might still be in like just culture like TV shock.
That's fair.
Like who knows if it breaks my brain again, like I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know how it will function as a human.
I don't know who I am without that episode.
All right, unless anyone has anything else to
we did our favorite
to
things
say about
we chatted about
three.
Our things
there's no games there was no fun this
we kind of played a game with that.
With guessing what other shows ITV has canceled, how much people like those.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, insert comment name here. Please don't actually do that. I do not want to dox people, but we appreciated your comment for a fun game for us. 14 years later. Wow. Anyways. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of this podcast. If you're listening to this 14 years in the future, hey, what the fuck? make sure to use us for whatever your weird podcast or whatever the new version of podcast is, like 14 years from
14
now,
years in the future.
Whatever the fuck that is.
We're not lost media. Someone archived this. Who are you?
Let's go. It's not just like me or David or Charlie that archived this. That's crazy.
I'm sure at one point, like a decade from now, David's going to look at his OneDrive bill and go, oh shit, I got to get rid of that stuff. This gigabytes of data
at which point it's going to be like, shit, I hope you guys downloaded that. It's gone. Yeah.
Listen, it's on the Podbean servers.
Yeah, until we stop paying for those.
It's going to be around in 10 years.
Anyways, thanks for listening. And how, if it's 14 years from when this came out, I guess.
2028.
If you enjoyed 2038. If you enjoyed this episode in 2038, make sure to give us a super like or whatever the fuck they have then. And rate us on whatever your favorite podcatching service of choice is that still exists. Maybe it's Google, maybe it's Apple, whatever they're doing. Maybe it's Spotify. Does that still exist? Who knows? But yeah, just you can find us on all of those, at least right now. Who knows in the future where we'll be. Maybe this is all just something being held in like an AI. There's just like a podcast AI, and you just go serve me up the angry men who were talking about a terrible TV show from 2009, and it goes okay.
And it goes, which one of these 100,000 podcasts would you like to listen to?
maybe that's where you're finding us. And if so, cool. Thanks, AI. Why did you pick us? If you did do that, and you've decided like, yeah, no, I need to reach out to these people. You could reach out to us in two different places. Either on Twitter. At Forsaf, Foursaf. That website's definitely gone if this is 2038.
It's gone next week. It's fine.
We can always dream. Or you can always send us an email at Gmail. Foursaf@gmail.com. Foursaf again. Thanks again for listening. See you in 2039. Outro.
Our intro and outro music is Dream One by Magenta 6. Licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.